that takes the cake, I suppose, in terms of the my whole transition over here to the US of A. I was still working in the AFL at the time, and I actually had an awesome opportunity to come over here in a off season. And when we made the decision to transition over here, it just happened to be basically the week of COVID when that
Oh
hit.
my. Welcome to the Talking Shop podcast, where I'm here to share stories, lessons, and experiences in sports performance and professional development. I'm your host, Matt Tomitz. Today, I'm joined with Matthew Pell. How are you doing today? And tell me something good that's going on in your life.
Thanks very much, Maddie, and thanks for having me on the podcast. It's sort of been watching you from the outside, I suppose, for a little while now, and yeah, you've been doing some really good stuff that I think is asking a lot of performance questions for practitioners out there, and it's certainly something that we've got to continue to share, and we appreciate your work. So, yeah, I suppose to date, yeah, it's been a lot at the moment with the MLS just kicking off this year as a part of my work, I suppose, for Catapult. I'm now going into year three in this role since I've made the transition over here, and yeah, it's been fantastic. Obviously, get a lot of exposure in a lot of different areas, and no doubt we'll try and dive into as many of those as we can.
For sure. So Matthew, great name, by the way. One T instead of two, but I'll let it slide.
There you go.
A senior applied sports scientist at Catapult, coming up on 3 years, a little over 3 years now. And I don't even know how we got connected through social media, as you kind of referenced, but I know that you do a little bit of everything and you're really good at what you do, and it's taken you kind of all across the world. So you've been super nice to me, super insightful in our conversations, and super gracious with your time. So I figured, why not kind of just share your story? So as a senior applied sports scientist, just briefly, you're basically doing a little bit of everything for kind of everyone who's you're assigned to, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a very dynamic role. It's honestly, there's a lot of similarities, I suppose, in the business side, as well as no doubt the elite sporting side. When you really break it down, you've still got a general manager. You've got which is kind of like going to your boss as a performance manager in elite sport, or and then you've got your whole management team in terms of the front office. So on the commercial side, and no doubt up above. So yeah, there is a lot of, I suppose, pipelines that you have to continuously collaborate with, and that obviously for me opens up some amazing opportunities in a lot of different areas, and at the same time, obviously, as a part of my really fundamental role with the company is to look after the applied sports science and the rollout of Catapult across Major League Soccer here in North America, but then also with American football. I've got a really good college base there, and a really good handful of universities, and one that you might not have heard of before, but it's is with the USA cricket team. So
Wow. We're
very fired up about potentially joining some forces there with a new Major League Cricket that's coming here to North America.
For sure. So Matthew has to speak the language of literally everyone across a high performance staff, which is just a testament to kind of everything he's done. So besides Catapult, last kind of background, and then we'll hop into it, but could you just give us just the bullet point summary of all the stops you've had so far along the way, all across the world?
Yep. No, and as you can tell, a lot of it, no doubt, has been in Australia. So I spent really my first introduction, I suppose, to the S&C field, which is quite a long time ago now. I think 2007 was when I actually finished my undergraduate, I suppose, degree. And then I got some work experience, which was actually in cricket as my first opportunity. And that was amazing. I was working with the female cricket team in Victoria in Australia. And thankfully, that led into an opportunity with the national cricket team. So I spent nearly 4 years I suppose in that sport, just over. And for me, I'd actually played Australian rules football previously, or prior to that. So I was at obviously university, and like everyone, trying to figure out what they want to do and which direction they're going to take in this field. And strength and conditioning, I had some really good contacts in the field. That obviously led into multiple conversations and work experience. And I spent essentially nearly 10 years in the AFL system. So going through the underage programs, under 18s it's called, which is kind of like your freshmen's coming in, I suppose, over here. And then eventually with three of the senior organisations, so the AFL, the referees, and then two of the more senior organisations as the senior strength and conditioning coach with Carlton Football Club and then North Melbourne Football Club, which was more in like a return to play, obviously, position. So, yeah, it's kind of a 1,000-foot overview.
For sure. So we will get into it. What was the first kind of fork in the road, or looking back, if you had taken a left instead of a right, kind of this would all be very, very different?
Yeah, it's probably like anyone where you're really trying to early on cut your teeth in terms of and getting a full-time opportunity, no doubt. It's probably, as we all know, it's a really challenging industry at times. And there's a lot of uncertainty, right? So you're trying to navigate through all of those within your networks and no doubt trying to look how you go, where you want to go in this industry. Is it more down the science route and data science, or is it more as a hybrid between multiple areas? And I think those, the longer I'm in this, certainly those multiple skill sets are an absolute advantage to an organization as well. Probably if I'd really go back and look at one defining moment, where I actually went back in 2014 and did a graduate diploma of education, because I'd always thought about going into physical education as a teacher in some capacity. But I think that opportunity, and it was a really good decision at the time as well, because I was coaching and teaching anyway with athletes. So really just understanding the curriculum and what it actually takes to structure outside of like a strength and conditioning program, and really trying to understand with the athlete, do they actually, putting yourself in their shoes, do they actually understand what I'm talking about? And have I done enough to really facilitate their learning and development? So in hindsight, that was kind of a really good thing because I was navigating at the time whether I'd stick in the field or whether I'd go down that path. And then obviously, at the time, opportunities opened up on the S&C front, and that certainly brought me to where I am today. And I've got multiple, no doubt, people to thank for that as well.
For sure. So with kind of careers progressing and deciding what that next step might be, whether it's a step away or whether it is a lateral step, or whether the step is just to keep trying to take a step forwards, what was that conversation like with some people in your corner about, like, do I throw in the towel in a positive way? Is this like a waste of money? Is it a waste of time? Or like, when it came, so of course it wasn't like moving across the world, which we'll get to in a sec, but choosing to do something a little bit more lateral, like, what was that conversation like with some people? Was it like met positively? Was there some hesitancy? Just what was that decision process like?
Yeah, I think there's an element, like my inner circle, no doubt, is my family. So my wife, Emma, is a really big supporter, obviously, of the career. And like everyone, I suppose, that's in this industry, you do have a really close network in terms of who you lean on. And it's really, there is other factors, no doubt, that come into these decisions. For us personally, we just started a family at the time. We bought a house. So there's a lot of moving parts, no doubt, that come into these decisions. And you're looking for things like financial security. You're looking for growth and opportunity on the professional side. So those, and really, what are you going to do down as a part of your journey as a practitioner when you get to 40, 50, 60, et cetera? So I think you've always got to be thinking about those aspects. And that's probably having a little bit of experience in the field across multiple countries. That's probably the areas that I see with a lot of strength coaches that are out there is how much are they actually setting themselves up for financial security in the long term? Because there will be an end point, but it's a question of what your skill set will look like going into those other areas that you might be exploring. So, yeah, it's... There's not one way. Obviously, my way was really only one little piece of the puzzle, but there's a lot of influences, a lot of discussions that no doubt go into that as well.
I like how you said it's about the skill set that you have and accumulate. As I'm starting to realize it, it's not really about, well, it is about what you can do and more the concepts of skills, because the specific X's and O's, like 90% of where you get hired is like learning their processes and doing what they want you to do. So it's like, what general skills and more like concepts are you really good at? So think about, like, at least myself being 3 years in, it's like I'm in the like skill acquisition phase, to use a like cliche training, as I'm doing air quotes, to use like a cringy cliche training analogy. But like, think about like skill acquisition, like how many things can you have tool in your tool bag? Another, don't worry, I hate myself too. Yeah,
you're on fire.
But last on this topic, like, what from the physical education kind of little rabbit hole you went down, do you think they do really well that S&C can learn from?
Yeah, obviously, you look at the role of teachers, like setting up a curriculum, which I think gets back to just your ability to have a really good structured training plan. And I can guarantee you that's even fed into on the business side. So who are we looking after as a part of our athletes, as a part of our clients, and then try and understand their needs, and then really thinking about the growth and development aspect of that client and all that athlete. So for me, it just taught me some really and probably reaffirm some really important fundamentals that even go back. It's funny how you do things in this industry, but it's a bit of a 360 to go back and really review some of your own systems and processes that could be just reassuring. I think that was probably one of the most things that I took out of obviously completing that degree. But then just no doubt the cementing of the education piece and really sitting down and understanding, particularly with an athlete, what makes them tick, and then how are you actually going to design a structured program for them to be able to really advance within as a part of their physical development. There's a lot of, so how much does an athlete actually understand these concepts of periodization, these weight training programs? So going through, talk me through a squat. So what do you actually know? So I think those really important pieces of reaffirming their knowledge and trying to educate when you can as well is just so, so critical to go back and revisit, because there is a lot of time that's needed in order to do that. And if anything, like just having a system and constantly reviewing that is just an important part of the evolution of a practitioner, because you're always evolving, no doubt about it, and you're always looking at as particularly on the technology front as new stuff is coming out, and it's trying to work out where it fits as a part of obviously your take in managing that athlete.
Yeah, it's like how myself as a performance coach, but more specifically like a sprint coach, can do very solid return to play stuff because I know all of the progressions and regressions of sprinting. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you can do really good performance stuff because you know fundamentally kind of how to teach, where it's like anyone can hop in and be like, all right, well, this is how you squat. But like, what's the teaching process is that actually sets everything up for the squat. So cool connection, kind of how I definitely think that things are more similar than dissimilar. You just got to take the time to like kind of put two and two together. So yep. Next, as we kind of alluded to, and I always like referencing pre-recording conversations just to create some exclusivity. But as you foreshadowed, but I'm excited to hear this, the coolest / craziest story you have thus far.
Yeah, like mine is that takes the cake, I suppose, in terms of my whole transition over here to the US of A. I was still working in the AFL at the time, and I actually had an awesome opportunity to come over here in a off season, and when we made the decision to transition over here, it just happened to be basically the week of COVID when that hit. My. And yeah, and it kind of obviously turned everything upside down. I've got to thank a lot of people, no doubt, for that. One of them is one of my friends at the company, in Jamie Hebner, where we actually ended up staying with him for, it was really only planned to be about the first month, but I think we ended up staying for about nearly 3 months, so it probably overstayed our welcome in some aspects, but it was a huge effort by him to facilitate that. Obviously, as a part of my development, this was something that I really wanted, and in order to continuously grow and get some exposure in the industry outside of an industry that I had worked in for a long period of time, and I'm really grateful to him obviously for that. But yeah, you talk about resilience, particularly doing this with a wife and two kids, where you've given up really two wonderful opportunities that we did have. That is probably takes the cake for me as a part of my journey and story, no doubt.
So as this field is not as traditional as most, you know, like I think it would be so nice. Can you imagine being an accountant and basically like wherever you want, there's probably going to be an accounting job, you know? So like often in performance, you kind of just follow where the job is location wise. So I've applied to jobs all over the country in different countries. I'm from Chicago. I did 2 years in Texas, 4 years in Missouri for school. But when it's one thing for me to apply to a job in Canada, but it'd be one thing for me to apply to a job all the way in Australia. Mm-hmm. So like, what was that process like to literally choose to move across the world?
Yeah, it was a big one. There's no doubt about it. And it took basically months of communication. And just really understanding that I'd use Catapult, particularly obviously as a part of like in the Australian Football League, they have Catapult as a really big part of, I think they've had a relationship as a part of the league for something like 10 years. They're kind of like one of the feature clients across the globe because of the technology being developed in Australia. And having used it for such a long period of time, obviously on the prescription element, that no doubt has, as a practitioner, puts you in ahead of the game in terms of understanding. There is a GPS portion of it. There's the accelerometers and gyroscopes and a lot of different metrics that go into that particular piece of technology. And then it's just really taking that and then understanding multiple case studies that you've worked on and built as a part of your training, I suppose, with the clients or athletes that you're working with. And then when this opportunity come up, that was something that I did look at in terms of the, no doubt, the exposure in the landscape, because it is an awesome part of working for a sports technology company where it just happens to be a really big one across the globe in multiple countries. And at the same time, you're working for a genuine company that I hadn't experienced before, obviously as a part of my own professional career. So there is a lot of advantages, no doubt, to it. Yes, there's travel involved with it, which you have to be able to factor in terms of managing a young family as well. But it's no different towards working with a sporting team where you're traveling 1 week on and then maybe 1 week off as a part of the schedule. It's a very similar structure, no doubt, working in this particular role. So yeah, the whole process did take some time, obviously a lot of going back and forth. By the time I went through, I think, nearly three interviews with our sports science manager here, all the way up to the chain to our commercial and product team, and just really trying to understand, because you think you know a little bit about areas of Catapult until you actually do come in and work for the company. So I think anyone, like, honestly, should be looking at these roles, particularly when they're starting out, because it just cements and gives you so much information as to obviously what it can offer. But then how you no doubt will go back in, maybe if you have aspirations to do that. We've clearly had staff members that have done that previously with sporting teams, and they do have a really good skill set to come out of it. So, yeah, that's kind of the journey.
And then last two quick questions on this topic. First one, any advice for someone who's open to moving to a different country for work? What would that be?
Yeah, I think you've got to do your homework, no doubt, just beforehand, and understanding things like where to move, networks, understanding, no doubt, the job that you're walking into. And things are different, particularly when I sit back and look at over on this side. You've got performance, you have an athletic trainer that sort of sits in the middle, and then you've got a physical therapist. Whereas in Australia, we really only have strength and conditioning, who really does have to dabble into a lot of the return to play. And this is the same in the UK as well and beyond. And then physiotherapists. So you do have a lot of hybrid-based roles that are out there with physiotherapists that are also going into strength and conditioning and sports science, and obviously on the performance side, dabbling into the medical landscape. So I think just really understanding what the role is that you're walking into and then what you want to get out of it, obviously to complement that organization as well. These are all really important parts that I think you've got to really consider. No doubt there's the accreditation piece as well. When you look at, particularly on the sports science side, thankfully from what I know, if you do have like an ESSA or a UK basis accreditation that seems to be recognised across Major League Soccer, or obviously you've got your new accreditation that's come through as a part of the National Strength and Conditioning Association Sports Scientist. These are really important aspects of just, looking at what is going to put you in the best spot to get a job with obviously these organisations. So, understanding all those things are really critical. No doubt, obviously being able to, if you can fund it as well, how you're set up financially, whether it's going into a really big opportunity, fantastic, or whether it's an entry level as part of graduate assistant and then working your way up. That's where I personally struggle. I really do encourage anyone that's out in Australia or obviously the UK to come out here and complete an internship and just understand a different landscape. I have friends of mine, I'll give him a shout out, but Steve Folds, who was at Michigan previously, it's gone back to Australia, is now lecturing at a university in obviously Geelong. Guys like this, they're just wonderful global experiences that I think is really worth its weight in gold.
So an unpaid internship across the world might not be the most beneficial opportunity. But last thing, something that met and did not meet your expectations as an outsider kind of moving to the States, what did you have planned in your mind? What met and did not meet it?
Oh, geez, that's a really difficult one. It's probably just I'm very grateful to be, and very lucky that I'd been over here a lot of times previously. So I actually had my honeymoon over here nearly 11 years ago now. So I'd actually been out to the States for, I think nearly six or so times from Australia. So I had a really good understanding of what I was walking into and probably just the differences, obviously, in each state and climates as well. Obviously, we made the decision to go to Chicago straight away in the first year, but we could only handle the cold for so much until we moved down to Charlotte. But I think just knowing all those sorts of things and what you're walking into is really important. And then just understanding how you navigate through them. So, without sort of specifically answering your question, there's definitely a lot in that.
A good buddy of mine is from Austria. And like, I'd only been out of the country once, and it was just to Mexico, and it kind of blew his mind. It's like, you can get first off, like the size of Texas is the size of Austria, or Austria's even smaller than that. So it's like from one coast to the next is over like 24 hours of driving. You can get literally every climate you want. So it's like, you don't need to go to a different country. I mean, you should, but just how big the states are.
Oh, how big it is. But just at the same time, like it's just the exposure to seeing, like it's so much. I'm obviously, as a part of my work for the company, I'm walking into everything from a major league soccer organization through to, an NCAA Division I football program. And I've had meetings with head coaches, meetings with obviously general managers in areas, all the way through to national teams, and even the Olympic team. So the exposure for me personally has just been absolutely incredible. And that's why, I strongly encourage practitioners to, if they are interested in moving, to really understand, what they're wanting to get out of it. But also these life experiences as a practitioner really do, I suppose, help you in broadening your obviously your skill set, but just your ability to critically think in areas as well.
For sure. So last big question, what is the story you're most proud of, or the biggest kind of full circle moment? Maybe it was something that in the moment you were like, oh, this was super cool. Or maybe like 3 years later, you were like, oh, way. Or, oh, wow, that like panned out exactly how it should have.
Oh, wow. There is a lot. No doubt. Like having kids was probably my biggest one. If I didn't say that, I might be in a bit of trouble for my wife, but,
I won't tell you.
Like, no, that's it. So having like those decisions by far have been absolutely amazing. And again, the fact that we've been able to move internationally with our kids and give them a really good life experience as well, I think is just incredible, on so many fronts. I think obviously on the professional side, like there's just, I kind of mentioned it just before, but to make obviously the call to move over here and really experience some things in a different landscape has just been, for me, as the best part of dealing with multiple practitioners. And no doubt you're involved in multiple conversations as a part of what do you do? What did I do? Share and tell, and that's something I've really tried to pride myself on coming into this role. And I think it's really important to get to know our people more so than just the technology, and how they're implementing it. No doubt what some of their challenges are within the organizations that we have to be really privy as a part of that sensitivity of information. But the opportunity to be able to really question things in particular areas and see what some of the wonderful work that people are doing, because they're out there and that needs to get recognition as well. And we like to think we've got a pretty big platform to be able to help support the growth and development of those practitioners as well.
What is one thing you miss and don't miss about Australia?
I definitely, like, when it's in the middle of summer, you'll be surprised how hot it actually does get. So I'll never forget, like, just some of the training days where we'd been out literally on the field for nearly 3.5-4 hours in what, 40 degrees worth of 40 just so nearly 40 degrees worth of heat. And you're doing either rehab sessions on the side or you're waiting for the whole team to finish. In itself is the weather can be brutal at times in Australia. No doubt there's always family and friends. We're very lucky that we've had a lot of people that have come over and visited, and we've been back there obviously once so far, and we're looking to go back again. So just that connection piece with friends and so forth, that's always a big part of obviously when you do make the decision to move internationally. It's just trying to touch base with everyone. So,
and the one food you miss the most, or like you would recommend someone to go try if they go to Australia?
We actually are very lucky. There's a supermarket called World Supermarket that actually does sell Vegemite.
So oh, if you man.
Haven't lucky experienced Vegemite yet, it's definitely an acquired taste, but it is a personal favorite of mine. I have it on some toast with some avocado, and people think I'm a little bit crazy, but that's one of my favorites for sure.
Gotcha. Cool. So last thing. So any advice, but not like cliche advice, as I'm the king of cliches, I guess, this episode of like, go chase your dreams. Like, that's kind of pointless, but something kind of rooted in action, like simple action oriented, whether it goes on a sticky note, you know, on their mirror that they see in the morning, or just whether it's like a weekly affirmation they tell themselves. If you had some sort of like quick, actionable, simple thing that the listeners could take home, what would that be?
Yeah, I think I personally have sort of lived by the motto of just be open, be transparent, and I say open because be open to learning new things. And the more I think we can do that, that gets back to that conversation we had on teaching, right? If there is someone that can tell me how to do things better in a particular area, I think you genuinely need to listen. So there's some real fundamentals in there, listen, learning, and actioning those things in terms of your professional career will really put you in good stead in this industry. And again, as a part of that, being extremely open, you never know where it can take you. So, That is, I've worked with numerous practitioners across the globe now in multiple areas, and I do see a lot of similarities that jump out to me in those areas. So it's probably some humble advice.
Maybe it'll take you across the world. Look at that. Look at that. So I want to say thank you very much for your time, for your openness, just for being a good friend and a good conversationalist, as I've enjoyed our chat so far, hence why I asked you to hop on. But where can the listeners get more of you?
Oh, yeah, probably more so. I'm on Instagram a little bit. LinkedIn is probably my sort of main one. We tend to do a lot of that through the company as well. But, obviously those are probably my main ones.
Fantastic. So those will be in the show notes below. And thank you very much again. I look forward to chatting next.
No, thanks, Matty. Appreciate your work you're doing, man. Thank you.